Romans chapter 6 then, Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. I want to underline that little phrase tonight, the phrase servants of sin. You and I know tonight that this letter, this epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans is perhaps one of the greatest epistles in the Bible. The central theme of this book is very clear. Justification by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, for instance, verse 17, that great text says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You and I know tonight it was this text that opened the eyes of Martin Luther, that great reformer. He saw, dear friends, that salvation, it was not in religion, it was not in Rome, it was not by his works, it was not by his deeds, but he saw by the grace of God that salvation is found by faith alone, in Christ alone. And he was delivered from the darkness and from his sin, and he became a great champion of the faith as in the gospel of Christ. This book declares then, very simply, we're saved by faith in Christ alone. There's no works added to it. There's no religion added to it. It's Christ and Christ alone that saves the soul. Now, in his letter here, the Apostle Paul, speaking to these believers who had been saved, as we'll see, he reminds them how they used to be. And there was a time in their life they were once weak, because he says that in Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, and he puts himself here into the picture. He's just not really picking holes in people or picking people out. He puts himself in among this group of people, and he says, for when we were yet without strength. You see, they were weak. They were unable to save themselves. They were unable to help themselves. They're weak. Dear friends, that's true of all of us. Doesn't matter where you're from tonight. We're weak in ourselves. We're unable to save ourselves and to get right with God. And there was a time in this people's lives that they were weak. But he also reminded them that they were wicked. Because in Romans 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. And notice he puts himself into the picture here as well. And he says, here's the way we were. Listen, we were sinners. We were rebellious. We were against God. We sinned against him. Every one of us, including myself. Now, you were a heathen. You were an idolatry. I was a Jew. But here's one thing about all of us. We were wicked. And we sinned against the Lord. That's a wonderful thing about the Bible. It paints us all, my friends, in the same colors. We're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every one of God's people here tonight who's saved by God's grace, there was a time in our life we were wicked. You were yet sinners. And then he reminded them that they were warriors, or in other words, enemies, because in Romans 5, verse 10, for if when we were enemies. And no, he's talking here about being an enemy against God. There's a time in their life they were fighting against the Lord. They were fighting against his word. They were fighting against his people. Listen, they were fighting against Christ. He says, we were enemies. And Apostle Paul himself, there was a time in his life he was an enemy. And you can read the Bible. He hated Christ. He hated his people. He hated the message of the gospel. He was an enemy. I was once an enemy. And child of God, you were once an enemy of God, of righteousness, of the gospel, of Christ. And he reminds them they were once enemies. And then he reminds them here that they were once servants of sin. In other words, about their work. They were servants. He says on in verse 17 here, tell them that ye were servants of sin, and he says it again in verse 20, for when ye were servants of sin. And these people, no doubt, were weak, they were wicked, they were warriors, but he talks about their work. There was a time in your life you were a servant of sin. And that's true of all of us. There's a time in our life we're servants of sin. And maybe there are some listening tonight outside in their motor vehicles. And maybe there's some here tonight in this gospel meeting. And you tonight find you're a servant of sin. It describes your work, describes your life. Now, there's just a few lessons we want to look tonight about those who are servants of sin. And the first thing I want to say about them is the servant and his dominion. And if you look here how he is described, a servant of sin. And the word servant, of course, it can mean that they are bondmen or they are slaves. Over in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15, where it talks about that great day of the Lord that's going to come upon the world. And it says in John, or Revelation 6 and verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men. And notice, and every bondman. You see that word bondman? That's the same word for servants. They're bondmen. In Acts chapter 7, verse 6, where Stephen is speaking, he talked about the people of Israel being brought into bondage. And that's the same word. And so the Apostle Paul is speaking about a man or a woman who are slaves to sin. He's dominated by the very power of sin. He's chained in his bondage. I said tonight to the person who's a servant of sin, his feet is chained. His hands are chained. His heart is chained. His life is chained. What is wrong with a sinner tonight outside of Jesus Christ? Dear friends, are servants of sin. This is the meaning here of the term that's brought before us. They are servants of sin. Now think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks himself about this bondage of the sinner. Remember he said in John 8 verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. Now think of this. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the lesson is loud and clear that's coming from his lips. He's telling us here that the person who commits sin, who continually commits sin, the Lord Jesus tells us they are the servant. Or we can put the word, they are the slave. They're slaves of sin. And this is the same lesson the Apostle Paul is bringing to the Christians here in the Church of Rome. He says, you were the servants of sin. Dear friends, look at the Bible. The Bible brings us example after example of people who serve the sin. We read of people being slaves to drink. In Proverbs 23 and verse 35, he says, they have stricken me. This is talking about the drunk man. Shalt I say, and I was not sick? They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When I shall awake, you know what he said? I will seek it again. I will seek it again. But he's had a rough night, hasn't he? He's been beaten. He's been bruised. He's been bloodied. He's been bothered. But tell you what, dear friends, he says, when I awake, when I get up in the morning, here's what I'm going to do. I will seek it again. He's a servant. He's a servant of sin. And I was on Market Hill doing gospel missions or gospel outreach there one time, open air. Before the pub was open, I looked across the street. It was early in the morning, and I saw a man that I knew from years ago. And he was standing outside, and I went over and chatted to him. And dear friends, he was waiting on the pub and opened. He was waiting on them and opened. And sure enough, when the pub was open, he ran away through the door from me to get out of my way. But you see, he's a servant. And there are many people. They're held by booze. and they are servants. There's some to immorality. We think there of that lady in John chapter 4 who came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, and she says, I have no husband. The Lord says, well, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for I has had five. And he whom thou hast is not thy husband. And here's a woman, she was slave to immorality. There are people slaves to adultery. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 14, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin. Notice the words, he says, they cannot cease. There's something wrong with them. Dear friend, know what's wrong with them? They're slaves. They're slaves. And they're serving sins. Song in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22, a tale tells about the man in sin. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. And notice the words, he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Notice the word holden, kept fast. He's kept fast. Is there somebody in the meeting here or outside listening in a motor vehicle tonight, and you're a servant of sin, you're held by sin, it's drink, it's immorality, it's drugs, it's lying, it's cheating. When you're running after the world and you're running after sin, according to the Bible, you're a servant, you're a slave. You're a slave of sin. Other people would laugh at us saying that, of course. This, I have the whole thing under control. I can stop whenever I want to stop. Let them try and stop. And you find, dear friends, they're held. They're held, you see. They're servants of sin. The story's told years ago about a man who was enslaved to drink. One day his little girl fell ill. The doctor informed them that they needed medicine right away. The wife gave the husband the money to go to buy the medicine. Well, being an alcoholic, he didn't go to get the medicine. He went to get drink. And he drank the money. And when he arrived home, he got a shock because he found that the young girl was dead. She was laid in a coffin. She was dressed with a pretty dress and shoes and so on that neighbors had brought to him. Now, with a broken heart, no doubt he stood beside the coffin. But it tells us, as he stood at the coffin, he became thirsty for more drink. And when he spied these little shoes that was upon his daughter who had died, he slipped them off when he got an opportunity. He went out and he pawned them. And dear friends, he bought more drink. You see, he's a slave. He's a slave of immorality. He's a slave of drink. The Bible talks about those who are servants of sin. And God's people here tonight can look back to their unconverted days. You were a servant of sin, running after the world and the things of the world. You see, we were servants of sin, dominion. Not only in the meaning, but think about the servant's master. When they're servants of sin, they had a cruel master. Who is the master of these servants? The devil. The devil. These are the truths. Listen, these are the solemn truths that are taught and found in the Word of God. When a person is living for sin and they're living for the devil, he's the one who is their master. He is the one who's in control of them. It's him who's getting them. Listen, it's him who's pushing them in the world. He's the master. We find this brought out in the teaching of the Bible. Think of 2 Timothy and 2 verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Notice what it says about those without Christ. They're taken captive by the devil, listen, at his will. At his will. We can really say tonight that the person without Christ who's a servant of sin, the devil has them in the palm of his hands. Matthew Henry said, they are taken in a snare, and in the worst snare, because it is the devil's. And when you're a servant of sin, you have a cruel master. Who is he? He's the devil. And that's what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Remember that great epistle to the church at Ephesus? He tells them in chapter 2, in the verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And he said, listen, there's a time in your life, here's how you used to walk. According to the prince of the power of the air. The devil. He led you. He was in control. He's your master. We think of Legion in Luke chapter 8 and verse 29. It says, he was driven of a devil into the wilderness. The Lord Jesus said in John 8 verse 44, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He says, you're just living like your father. Listen, who was her father? It was the devil. The Lord says, you're just living like him. You're just following the devil. So we find here a servant of sin is a servant of the devil. He's our master. And if you're on converted tonight in this meeting, I hope you see the serious position that you're in tonight. The devil has you in the palm of his hand. You may not think that, of course. The ungodly tonight would laugh at such a message. But nevertheless, these are Bible truths that we find taught in God's word of those without Christ. They're servants of sin. They're slaves of sin. Of course, they may be religious sins. They may be full of self-righteousness. They may be full of pride. They may be full of religion. But they're still a slave. And they're still a slave to the devil. So we find about their master. And we can find another thing about their misery. It's a miserable thing to be a slave. It's a miserable thing to be a servant of sin. I know the Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 25 to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. But it's a miserable life. It is a wretched life. It is Christ, as we saw this morning in our message, it's Christ that gives joy. It's hard, it's difficult to be a servant of sin. Look over the world. People are broken. Families are broken. Hearts are broken. Lives are broken. People, they're finding it difficult. They're finding it hard to serve sin. Remember the Bible says in Proverbs 13 and verse 15, the way of a transgressor is hard. It's a hard life. They're servants. When the children of Israel were slaves down in Egypt, it was hard. It was difficult. And I see the papers, the news broadcasts. Listen, friends, I see a people without Christ. They're finding life hard. It's difficult. They're slaves. It says in Proverbs 23, verse 29, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has bubbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Talked about the drink. But look at the words. Who has sorrow? Who's broken tonight? Dear friends, the servants of sin. The servants in their dominion. And there's a time in my life I was a slave of sin. And there are many here in the meeting can remember your own days. When you run after the world and the things of the world, the dance halls, the pubs, the clubs, and everything that went with such a lifestyle. You see, we were servants. We were servants of sin. The servants in their dominion. Think about the servants and his defilement. The very terms here in use and show that this service is nothing more than a service of corruption. A service of vileness. The Apostle Paul spoke here of his past life, and he was a servant of sin. He talks about servants of sin, verse 17. That means offense against the Lord. And that's a terrible thing to sin against the God of heaven. The God who is Lord, who is holy, who is God, listen, who's king. It's an awful thing to sin against God. But that's what sin is. He talked there in verse 19 about servants. Sorry, to righteousness. It talks about, uncleanness in the middle of that verse. They were servants of uncleanness. That means impurity. Talked about verse 19, iniquity unto iniquity. There's a violation of the law. There's this growing of sin. In verse 20, for when ye were servants of sin, notice the words, you were free from righteousness. There was no righteousness in the people's life, in their heart, in their words, in their actions, in their deeds. No, they had no righteousness. No, there was iniquity. There was uncleanness. There was vileness. There was sin. Dear friends, I just want to say this to you. It's a dirty business. It's a dirty business being a servant of sin. It's the worst disgusting business in the world to God. To God. In the mire. In the sewer of sin. Sinning against the God of heaven who is holy, who is righteous, who is pure. And yet these people, they're servants of sin. Disgusting business. It shows their defilement. All cleanness in their life, their words, their deeds, their actions, everything about them. The dirty business. And that's what sin is, of course. Think there, Psalm 53, verse 3. Every one of them is gone back. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's written away there in the days of David. He says, they're all become, let's notice the words, filthy. Disgusting, dirty, in the sight of a holy God. Now, maybe not in the sight of others, not in the sight of themselves, no, but in the sight of a holy and great God, they were filthy. Remember, he said, Isaiah said in Isaiah 64, verse 6, but we're all as an unclean thing. He knew what the Bible said about sin, he knew what it did to everybody who has sinned against God, it made them unclean. Oh, dear friends, it's a dirty business. You see the servants and their defilement. Servant sin is wickedness. It is vile. It is uncleanness. It makes a person corrupt and unclean before a holy God. And that's what it did with me. And that's what it did with everybody in this meeting. And everyone who hears the word of God tonight. And maybe there's some listening tonight who's unconverted in your work and your servant sin. Listen, you're living a life that's unclean before God. A dirty business. Sin and its defilement tonight. It has made you unclean in the sight of God. It's a dirty business. And then we can draw some more lessons about servants of sin from our passage here. Because think about the servant and his death. Because notice what he says at the end of verse 16. Whether of sin unto death. Unto death. And we see that again in the verse 21. He says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things, notice, is death. And that great text that we all know in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. And he's telling them, listen, you're working for the devil. You're serving sins. You're a slave of sin. But I want to tell you, here's going to be your wages. And what was going to be their wages? He says, very simply, friends, it's death. This is your wages. This will be your wages when you live such a life. Now, of course, he's referring here, in one sense, to physical death. The wages of sin is death. It's going to take you to the grave. And that's true of everyone, of course, because all have sinned, as I have said, and come short of the glory of God. And the soul that sinneth, the Bible tells us, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. One writer said, sin has digged every grave. Every grave. Why is people dying? Because they're picking up their wages. They're picking up their wages. It's death, you see. The servants of sin. There's one thing here for them. There's death. And that's why we shall die. Of course, not only about the wages with his death. He talks about the wrath. There is eternal death. If we were just placed in the grave and that was the end, which some people believe foolishly, of course. You live for sin, you live for the world, you die just like a dog, you're buried like a dog, and that's the end. That's what some people hope for, of course. But they're foolish. This is not the teaching of the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in Revelation, for instance, 21 and verse 8, it says about the faithful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I want you to notice those words. Which is the second death. Man is going to die twice if they come before God in their sins. He talks about the lake of fire and brimstone. He's talking here about hell. He's speaking here about punishment, punishment that will come upon those who come before God in their sin. Hell will be the wages for those who die without Christ. One person said, sin put hell into the soul and the soul into hell. And these are the wages that people will pick up. The wages of sin is death. Listen, eternal death. Eternal punishment. When a sinner comes before God in judgment day and his life is brought before the Lord and God, Lord Jesus says, depart from me, the cursed and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Friends, they're picking up their wages. They're picking up their wages. I said tonight, payday is coming. And you're unsaved. Listen to my voice tonight. I'm warning you, payday is coming. You pick up your wages. The wages of sin is death. If you serve the devil, if you serve the world, you'll pick up your wages. And the wages of sin is eternal death. One writer says, God will give the rebel what he chooses and what he deserves. You pick up your wages. And the Apostle Paul here is writing to people about the servants. You were servants. And when we think about the servants of sin, these are their wages. The devil is the worst paymaster. He's the worst one you could ever serve. He wants to bring you down. Listen, he wants to bring you down, down, down into hell for all eternity. You're the servants of sin. It's death. Dear friends, it's eternal death. You lose your soul forever. You see, he talks about the servants and their death. You were the servants of sin. I asked you tonight, are you a servant of sin? Do you know what you're facing? Do you know that you're facing death? Do you know that you're facing judgment tonight? Do you know that you're facing hell tonight? You're a servant of sin. You're a servant of the devil. And be cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That never ends. That never ends, friends. Now, Paul speaks here about the servants and their death. And that is true of all who die in their sin without Jesus Christ. They'll lose their soul for all eternity because they are servants of sin. Then I want to speak lastly quickly about the servants and his deliverance, because he says, you were the servants of sin. Something remarkable had happened to these people, of course, and the Apostle Paul himself. Now, friends, you see, they were saved. You were the servants of sin. He's writing to people who were living such a lifestyle, just like himself, of course. You see, the servants and his deliverance, they were delivered from death. They were delivered from their sin. So how, and there's four things in delivering here of the servant. First of all, there's a belief in the Savior. He says in verse 17, But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed, notice the words, from the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. And notice he talks here, not about the head. No, he talks about the heart. You have obeyed, listen, from the heart. That form of doctrine which was delivered unto them. What doctrine? The doctrine of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had heard about Christ. They had heard he's the Savior of the world. They were told about his death upon the cross, his atoning death. And if they come to him, he will save them. If you believe in Jesus Christ, as I said, the just shall live by faith. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, and he will save you. He will cleanse you from your sin. That's why he could write here in this book in Romans 10 verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's trusting Christ. That's putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the one who loved us, the one who bled and died, the one who made one sacrifice for sin forever. Trust him and you'll be delivered and you will be saved. That's what Christ says. Remember in John 8, he says, "You shall know the truth," verse 32, "and the truth shall make you free." And dear friends, we have to preach the truth. We have to tell people how it is with them, that they're lost without Christ and in their sin, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He's the only one who can save them. All other religions are false. Christ is the Savior. You must trust him. You must believe in him with all your heart. And dear friends, you see, this was a deliverance. Put your faith in Christ. And I say to you tonight in this meeting, put your faith in Christ to save you. Do it. Ask him to take away your sin and to save your soul. And he will save your soul. It's not only the belief in the Savior. There's the breaking of the shackles. Look at verse 18. "Being then made free from sin." Not a wonderful thing. He sets the prisoner free. This is a tremendous thing about Christ. Remember it says in Isaiah 61 and verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." This is a prophetic statement of Christ. "Because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Notice here, liberty to the captives. The opening up of the prison. You see, what does Christ do, my friends, in salvation? He sets sinners free. He breaks his shackles. He breaks his chains. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." He breaks a part of counsel sin. We sing this. He sets the prisoner free. And there's hope tonight for those who's held by the devil and held by sin. Christ can set you free. They can do it tonight if you trust him. He'll break the shackles. There's a binding to the sovereign as well when you're delivered. He talks in verse 22 about servants to God. What a change that is. He talks in verse 18 about servants of righteousness. Well, that's some change, isn't it? And unto holiness, verse 19 as well. That is some difference. The person who finds Christ, they're not serving the world or the devil anymore. They're serving God. They're serving him. They're serving righteousness. Oh, what a wonderful change in their life has been wrought since Jesus came into their heart. The Apostle Paul said it of himself in Romans 1 verse 1. Paul, a servant, or listen, a slave of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful change in his life had been wrought. He served the world. He served the devil. But now he's serving Jesus Christ because Christ has set him free. And that's what Christ does in the gospel. He sets us free. We don't run to the pubs or clubs anymore or after the world or sin. We come to the house of God to worship him and to follow him and to live a life of righteousness. And then there's also not the binding to the sovereign. There's a blessing of salvation. Verse 22, "Being now made free from sin, you become the servants of God and you have your fruit unto holiness." Listen, and the end, everlasting life. Everlasting life. He breaks the chains. I know what he does. He gives us everlasting life. He takes his children home to heaven. Those who were slaves of sin, those who were rebellious, those who sinned against him, when they trust Christ with all their heart, he breaks the shackles. He sets them free, and they follow him and they live for him. And dear friends, you know what he gives them? Everlasting life. Servants of sin, now servants of God. What a wonderful change that is. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to the people in this meeting tonight who saved. The servants of sin. Now we're servants of God. And we're following Christ. We're not, don't say we're perfect. We're not. But we're following Jesus Christ and living for him. And what the Lord did for the Apostle Paul and these people, he can do for you. Would you trust him tonight? Repent from your sin. Turn away from it and trust Christ with all your heart. And he will save you. And he'll do it tonight. And he'll set you free and he'll break your shackles. They give you a new life, a new heart, my friends, a new joy within your soul tonight, a new destiny. Not be going to hell, no, no. You'll be going to heaven because Christ has set you free. He can do that for the servants of sin. He can do it for the worst. The Apostle Paul said one time, remember, he was the chief of sinners. And if he can set the worst free, he can set you free. It's all by grace and mercy. He'll do it tonight. One touch, one word from Christ. Trust him. If I can help you, speak to us tonight. Say behind, there's plenty of room here. We can talk. We can keep a distance. And we can talk about these matters. Don't go home without Christ. And let the Lord change your life tonight. And be saved by his grace.